Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Big imprint, and we think that they're going to be relevant for multiple years and take this next step forward. Like, it's difficult to be good year after year in any sport, let alone the NFL. Now, I'm not saying that Detroit, I think Detroit's going to win at minimum 11 games this year. At minimum, okay? And they're in one of the harder divisions in football. So I'm giving them the appropriate respect. It's been really difficult what the Niners have done to sustain their excellence as long as they have. It's very difficult.
By the way, real quick, just put a pin in that. Lions-Rams, Sunday Night Football, Week 1. That's going to be
Don't sleep on my Rams.
That's going to be a really fun one heading into, obviously, Monday Night Football, Niners and Jets. God, I can't wait for I'm so excited for football.
Just I am too. And again, I'm rooting for Goff, but in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, I don't trust him.
You can't. That Super Bowl, like Belichick and Wade Phillips actually punked both of their opposing offenses. It was one of the worst Super Bowls ever. I was by myself cutting the audio here at 95.7 the game. It was horrible. I ended up cutting like 10.
Was it 7-3?
It was horrible. Julian Edelman was the MVP. He caught like 12 passes. It was awful. I think Brady threw a pick on the very first drive and then like Goff turned it over too. It was horrible. But to your point, Jared Goff, when I look at the totality of the quarterbacks in the NFC, it's Purdy. I got Stafford there. And this is no particular order. Purdy, Stafford, Love, I'm going Hurts. Who else you want to toss in there? I'm taking all of them ahead of Jared Goff right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've seen Purdy do it in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys a couple years ago. Seen him do it against the Seahawks. I'm talking about playoff games. Against the Seahawks, one of the best second halves a Niner quarterback's ever had in the playoffs. Then we saw him this last year against Green Bay and against Detroit in the second half. He was significantly better.
When things aren't going well the entire game, that's when you separate the men from the boys.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the quarterback position, because when it was nut up or shut up time, he led the team on a drive in not great weather, and they won the game. Jared Goff had multiple opportunities to do that. Punch back.
Yep.
But it just felt like the team, it was just so deflated. But that goes back to the quarterback and having faith in your quarterback and trust. Like, you think the Patriots gave up when they were down 28-3? No, because they knew they had Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever. There's something to be said about having belief in your quarterback. Now, that being said, they were chanting his name all throughout, and we're not making this a Jared Goff segment here at 95.7 The Game. We're not going to do that, but they have belief in them. But I need more Niners fans right now, 888-957-9570, to have faith in their quarterback, Brock Purdy. Because I do think there's a lot of scared energy right now from a lot of Niners fans. And I don't think you should have that because you have Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think it's more of a calm. I think a lot
you
of
think
Niners,
it's calm. I don't know.
Like, yeah, this is what I think. I think Niner fans know they're really good.
The aura is off right now. That's the word.
Because
the
games don't matter. It's really hard to get fired up after being in the playoffs and knocking on the door year after year, and then losing in the overtime in the Super Bowl. So I think it's really difficult for a lot of fans to muster up crazy excitement over a couple of plays with a bunch of third and fourth stringers from the Raiders out there playing. I think the Niner fan is a little more discerning than other fan bases because currently, right? Because right now it's like, wake me up week one against the Jets. I think that's what a lot of Niner fans are saying.
Oh, okay. Well, you're listening to 95.
Maybe I'm speaking out of turn.
No, you're good. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Also, be sure to shout out our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. I don't know how Vontae does this. The Sam Lubman has like 50 different pages out here all the time. It's crazy.
Know.
Shout out Carter for filling in for Sam this week. We appreciate you, Kata. If your calls aren't good, we're going to flush you. And then that way you can contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. And also shout out to Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at dealer 888-957-9570. You heard from Chris Sims there, NBC Sports. 49ers, fourth most talented roster in the NFC. Well, I still thought, even if they have, as he says, the fourth most talented, I'm still taking them to represent this conference. And it's funny, Joe, I keep going back to Brock Purdy and the expectations that have been bestowed upon him, because he is looking at a $300+ million contract if he balls out this season. Hell, even if he doesn't ball out and they go 10-7 and he's solid and he doesn't have the MVP type of season, I still think he's going to get broken off. But the expectations for him this year, what are you looking for Brock Purdy? This guy, without a full offseason of training, rehabbing, you had the Sam Darnold stuff, you had Trey Lance stuff, you had all that going on, and yet for a good portion of last season, this guy was a finalist for an MVP award that eventually went to Lamar Jackson, who outdueled him on Christmas night. How can he get better heading into this season? What are the tangible things? Because I keep going back to it. Like, is it just winning an MVP? What are the tangible stuff for Brock as we're 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season? What can he do to improve upon what he did last year? Because the guys just set the bar so freaking high.
So after that layered toss in the second drive, the one that everyone's critiquing online, that real people who watch the games are like, wow, it's a good throw from Brock Purdy. What a hell of a catch from Kittle. You get a little Mason run, and it's 2nd-and-3. And Purdy's scrambling out. There's nobody open. And then he just goes off running into the abyss. And it's just wide open yardage in front of him. And he looks around. He's like, oh, I got the first down. I got another 10 yards. I'll slide.
It was great.
It was a beautiful play. So my thing that I'm looking for him to do, and I thought that was a perfect microcosm. Hey, man. If those yards are there, don't try to be a hero and fire the ball across the field, you know, back toward the other side of the field and overthrow, and just take the 7 to 10 yards that are there on those broken play scrambles, slide and keep it moving. Keep the sticks moving. So it's not a specific number. It's the extending of drives without being crazily reckless. That's what I want to see him do. I think that there are times where he gets a little gunslinger-ish, and he's going to have to taper that down a little. But I think he needs to use his legs more. I think his legs are the best attribute that he has that we don't talk enough about. The way that free blitzer will come off the edge and no one will pick him up and Purdy will just kind of like pump fake and then shake out of it. That's an art. He feels the pressure coming. He doesn't get even touched. And then his little short area quickness to like evade that. I just think he's really good, man. I think he's really, really good.
888-957-9570. Putting a bow on the preseason. Let's just throw it out to you guys. 888-957-9570. What's the one line that sums up the preseason for you, this 49ers preseason, at 888-957-9570? Is it, you know what, I feel great about my quarterback, I feel great about Brock Purdy, I don't feel great because we don't have Brandon Ayuk? What is that one line that sums up the preseason now that it's done? It's just like, thank God preseason's over? Because, hey, you know what, I feel that. I liked preseason, again, just because I got to see this new kickoff thing. That was basically me and my understanding. It's like, all right, I'm getting used to this. I'm getting used to it. I think I'm ready for it. I'm ready for some kickoff return touchdowns for the first time in forever, where we had, you know, the Devin Hesters, the Josh Cribbs, the Cordell Pattersons of the world. So 888-957-9570. One line that sums up 49ers preseason for you. Joe Shasky, what would it be for you? The one line, what comes to mind when you think of preseason, this off season? For me, it's been, I'm just glad it's over and we can worry about an actual opponent in week one, and that being Aaron Rodgers and Bob Sala.
Wow.
I need this to be done. Like, I don't care if Ayuk's there, Trent Williams are week one. I need to know who's going to be there week one. And maybe that changes from now until 2 weeks from now, but I'm ready.
Let me give you my line.
I'm ready, man. I'm tired of it. I'm ready. I need to see some football.
I think a lot of people feel that way. The cavalry is here is the line that I would use regarding the preseason. I think this is their best draft class in a long time. We can lose
You're
our
really
minds.
You're really hyped about this draft class.
I really
you
am.
Really
we
am.
Can lose our minds about Ricky Pearsall, and that's fair. Like, he's a first-round pick, and I understand.
Expected to practice this week.
I just think we put way too much into the first-rounders in general. Like, Pooney is going to be a starter for a long time at right guard. And I think he's going to be awesome. Awesome. I think Malik Mustafa is a player. I think Renardo Green's a player. I think Isaac Garendo is going to help you in the return game. I think Jacob Cowan makes the team, and I think he's an impact player. And by impact, I mean sees the field on this team. To see the field at wide receiver on this team, you've got to be pretty good. And I think that he brings things to the table in terms of speed and this dynamic playmaking that they desperately need. Like, this guy looks like the kind of tight speed take the top off guy that they've been searching for years. Think what Marquise Goodwin was supposed to be to this offense. And it just never really, like, even though he had 1,000 yards 1 year, it just didn't sustain.
Ted Ginn?
Ted Ginn. I mean, give me a break. But like, all the good teams have that speedster that adds an element to a team. Think Tyler Lockett. Think, you know, Ozzie Keene back in the old days.
Xavier Worthy this year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, exactly. Xavier Worthy, who I took in fantasy as well. I think Cowan is going to be a player. And I think they're going to utilize him on a lot of jet sweep stuff and keep teams guessing. I think the cavalry is here. I think this draft class is setting the new tone for, hey, we have to get cheaper at a lot of different positions. And we're really good at drafting. And I also find it interesting, the year that they lose Adam Peters, maybe their best draft, totality-wise?
Interesting. I mean, yeah, maybe that's... we'll see.
Coincidence? I don't know.
We'll
I'm just
see.
Saying. It's just interesting.
Pooley looks fine in the preseason. He looks fine. He looks great. I know Baldy's excited about him. Let's see the regular season snaps. That against Quinnen Williams, against these guys, I know they're not going to be going head-to-head all the time, stuff like that. I don't know if Hassan Reddick's going to be there. I'll wait and see when the regular season football starts. But, hey, you're allowed to be excited about it. That's Joe Shasky's thoughts. That's his one line to sum up the preseason. I want to know yours at 888-957-9570. He's saying the cavalry is arriving. Coming up, though, there was a player not suited up for the silver and black. A lot of them weren't on Friday night because they didn't play their first stringers. But there's a guy that a lot of Niners fans and a lot of Jets fans also have been keeping an eye on. He was on the receiver dock. And wait till you hear what DeSean Jackson had to say about one Davante Adams possibly being a little bit disgruntled in Las Vegas. And maybe, just maybe, he wants out. We'll discuss that on the other side. And that's all going to be brought to you by Floor Decor.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Core.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Rose. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey.
Yee-hee. Appreciate you, Larry June. Spadonian for Bonte alongside Joe Shasky here. Bonte's just living it up. He's on the East Coast. He's out of New York State of mind. He's watching the Yankees. I think he's going to hit Flushing Meadows. He's going to watch some U.S. Open action. A little controversy in the U.S. Open, by the way. Yannick Sinner is one of the top golfers on the men's side. Don't know if you saw this, Joe Shasky. He got flagged for a steroid, basically. And I don't know the exact one, what it was. But it came up on his tox screening, whatever it is, his urine sample. And he's still allowed to play in this U.S. Open. They're saying it was negligence.
Oh.
And that the trainers were that he since fired were like using a cream or something like that.
Oh,
so,
Ryan Braun.
Yeah, so.
Blaming others.
Well, he didn't play. They interviewed it and all that sort of stuff. He's like, I fired. I didn't know. So I don't know. But that's going to be definitely something to monitor as well. But we're talking 49ers football today. And football season is upon us, Joe Shasky, which means It's time for another Red and Gold Summit, baby. Join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard and Dibs will start things off from 2 to 4. And the rest of the hosts, Bonte, Chasky, Goo, Steiny, 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storylines surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. Maybe I'll stop by there. It's tough to get down there during that time at Fremont from where I'm at, but you know what? Maybe I'll come say hi.
I want to say thank you to everybody. We have like a really loyal audience just in general. I mean, it's a really great community of people that reach out and send messages and just support everything we do here at 95.7 The Game. And it's not lost on me. We're coming up on 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Are we really?
Yeah, we're at almost 92,000 right now. We're probably going to get there in the next, I don't know, couple of months, probably the next 60 days, give or take. And it's because of you guys. It's because of the audience out there and the way that you guys support us and we appreciate it. You hit subscribe and you follow all our content. You like all of our videos. And, you know, it means a lot to everybody here. And I just wanted to just say thank you to everyone.
I thought you were going to give me credit since I've taken over the pregame show from Stephen Langford, our numbers have just quadrupled.
It's skyrocketed.
I don't think it's a coincidence. So you can thank the listeners, but what about me?
It's like upgrading from Jimmy G to Brock Purdy.
Hey, there's Steven. Hey, we love you, buddy.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, he's getting married in a couple weeks. Nice guy, Stephen Langford. We love him, even though he is Benedict Langford when it comes to European football and stuff like that because he roots for England. So we cannot accept that. But we root for the 49ers here. At least Joe Shasky does. And he's, you know what? He's optimistic about this season, this upcoming season. He's excited because the cavalry is arriving. We threw the number out there, 888-957-9570. The one line that sums up the preseason now that it's over. What is it for you? For Joe Shasky, the cavalry's arriving. For me, I'm just glad it's over. But is it over? Because, you know, we got 2 weeks to go. No Trent Williams, no Brandon Ayuk. Do you have that update? Jeremy Fowler, he updated us with he just wants to restructure his contract.
Here's the update from Jeremy Fowler, and I'll put it in layman's. Okay. Trent Williams wants to have all of the money renegotiated, and it might last into the regular season. I'm going to assume that they're going to bring him in. I don't want to argue about how much he's worth. I don't want to talk about guaranteed money. Just get him in. And the reason why they need to get him in is because Purdy was running for his life behind Colton McKivitz and Jalen Moore.
How much of a disaster would it be if there was no Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk?
So I saw a lot of people say, like, if Brandon Ayuk isn't on the 49ers, they have no shot of winning the Super Bowl. I disagree on that, and we can have different opinions. I think it's much easier to get to the Super Bowl with Ayuk than without him. But I still believe that they could do it. It would be a lot harder. Things would have to change. I'd be asking a lot from some of the young guys and some of the veterans. I don't think they have a shot in hell to get to the Super Bowl with Trent Williams.
Hmm.
And I think that you are running the risk of having so many plays on so many drives blown up. Like, let's just go through with no Trent Williams. Let's go through. And again, it's a preseason game against backups. Imagine what it's like when you're going up against Quinnen Williams for the Jets week one.
He's a baller. By the way, did you see that Quinnen Williams interview with Jim Rome last week?
No, I missed it.
It was almost like, do you remember what Matt Harvey went on with Dan Patrick? He's like, I'm only here to talk about Qualcomm.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just left. It was the same thing. It was whatever he was promoting. He's like, yeah, I'm only here to talk about this. And Jim's like, all right. Hey, fire away, my man. We can probably find the audio. It's hilarious.
I need to hear that.
Yeah, no. It's great, but continue.
Well, so, look, if there's no Trent Williams, here's a little glimpse into what happened in the game on Friday night. Again, against third stringers and second stringers for the Raiders, not against Max Crosby. Okay, no. I want to make that
clear.
No
Christian Wilkins, no Max Crosby, no Malcolm Kuntz, who are they're projected to be like a top 10 defensive unit on the front this year.
Third play of the game, there's a little toss to Jordan Mason, and Kittle and Willis is the backup fullback, tight end. They blow a block, and the guy goes in there, boom, tackle for loss. And on that same play, Jalen Moore also got blown up. And then on second and 15 now, they're at the 31. There's a blitz on the right-hand side. McKivitz does not talk, picks up the wrong guy. This guy comes in untouched, unfree. Purdy makes a miss and then hits Mason on the sideline. It gets overturned, but Purdy's running for his life. That's two back-to-back plays. That could blow up the drive, all right? Mm-hmm. And then on the third play after the challenge, it's third and long, and the drive stalls out because Jalen Moore and McKivitz give up pressure. That's the first drive alone. Now, I could go on and on and on about different plays throughout the game. The interception, you know, there was pressure on the right side on McKivitz. McKivitz is going to be, if Trent's out there, one of the weaker players. If it's Jalen Moore and McKivitz. Now both bookends are soft. And so I'm looking at Purdy's, jersey, and it was green. Mm-hmm. Now, the field was chewed up and terrible. Horrible. But it was your quarterback is not going to be able to have a monster season and stay upright if he's running for his life. And we all think Purdy's really good, okay? Protect him. He's got weapons. Protect him. So they got to get this Trent Williams deal done. I assume that they will. I don't want to argue about how much. I just get it done, Johnny Lynch.
I don't think he's going to be there week one. I think he's going to pull a Chris Jones with the Chiefs like last season where you don't have, and that was different because Kelsey was out because he was hurt, but they didn't have Chris Jones week one, and what happened? I mean, Kadarius Toney dropped like five different balls, but outside of that, they lost. The Chiefs lost at home after winning the Super Bowl to the Detroit Lions, and everyone was just like, huh? Was that about the Lions? Is that about the Chiefs? But Chris Jones not being there was a huge factor. And yes, say what you will about Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, that offense. The Jets defense was still a top 10 unit last year and is unbelievable. Rob Saleh, for as much as we want to clown him as a head coach, and I think he's been kind of dealt a raw deal right there, just with all the chaos that happens. Like, there's a Jets tax. You always talk about that. Like, it's got to be taxing. Like, they haven't had a stable head coach since Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan wasn't even that stable. Prior to that, it was like Herm Edwards. So I think Rob Saleh is going to have these guys humming week one. And if you don't have Trent Williams, yeah, it could be a long day. And that... what I do not need this season is a battered and beaten Brock Purdy. That is, it's great that he bulked up Joe Shasky. Like, that he needed to do that. He's still like Drew Brees size. When Drew Brees got battered and beaten, you saw it. It took its toll towards the end here. Now, that was later in his career, but even then, before, look at the Niners had on that guy. You think of that, some of the battles they had against Drew Brees, like, smaller stature guys still concern me. Like, I'm not saying anything about the arm strength. I think his arm strength's fine. His mobility's fine. But there is something to be said about the Big Bens of the world, the Cam Newtons, like, absorbing a certain amount of punishment for a whole season. Like, they work well in those divisions in the AFC North, right? I need my AFC West guys to just be fine and protected.
Well, like, I'm glad you brought up like the battered bodies. Like, Matt Stafford is a great example. Matt Stafford is the oldest. What is he, 36? I don't even, 35?
Yeah, something like that.
But if I told you he was 41, you'd kind of like, wow.
I'd believe you, actually.
Right? Because of the way, like, forever, he got punished in Detroit.
He's 36.
He's 36, okay? And he's always hurt, right? And he's a really good player, but his body has taken a pounding.
What's the lasting image of him? I always think of him, like, separating his shoulder on that drive, whoever it was against. It might have been the Packers, might have been the Bears or something.
And he couldn't get up.
And he couldn't get up. He's like, it's like, it's separated. And then he goes back in there, he throws a touchdown, and it was one of the all-time gutty performances you'll ever see. But that's what you think about Matt Stafford, a guy that's playing hurt all the time.
Look at Jimmy G. His body has given out on him. And then obviously his confidence and seeing the field and all that, like, that ruined him. Alex Smith's career was completely derailed from one shoulder injury.
It's life almost, too, with his leg.
Well, I was talking about, you're right. I was talking about with the Niners. So.
Correct.
And, like, I look at all of the young players that, you know, show promise and then go down. Right now, I love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has been running for his life for multiple years, and he can't stay healthy.
That's hurt a lot.
Ask a Bengal fan, and they got pretty good production from their backup quarterback last year. If they have Joe Burrow, they're in the playoffs.
Yes.
It's that simple.
I mean, I watched that performance against the Niners, and you were there in person. It might have been
incredible.
It might have been one of the greatest, like throwing displays I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
Just everyone. He was humming on all cylinders. It was insane. But to your point, the no Trent Williams factor, as of right now, 2 weeks away from the regular season, I don't expect him to suit up for the San Francisco 49ers. I could be wrong, and we'll have any breaking news. We'll give it to you. Speaking of, we were talking about the Chiefs for a second. Juju Smith-Schuster re-signing there, by the way. So Juju is going back to the Chiefs, former Super Bowl champion.
And it'll work.
Because it always does.
Because it always does for them.
Patrick Mahomes, that's another guy that, like, he could play a little bit hurt. But he knows when to go down.
Yes.
Like that is what he does know and knows how to do well. And I do think that's something that Purdy, the tangible thing, as you're saying, that we can expect him to get better at this year, is just going down when he needs to go down.
Yeah, he has great field vision. Yes. He understands. I mean, the guy's an absolute stud. But keeping him upright is the most important. If
always,
I were to say most
always.
Important thing for the whole season, keeping your quarterback healthy.
Yes.
I'm talking about just Team X.
Why do you think we know of the longtime offensive lineman coach for the New England Patriots all these years, Dante Scarnecchia?
Yeah.
I don't think he's there anymore. Like, I shouldn't know who that is, being a West Coaster.
X-Niner, Bob McKittrick.
There you go. But everyone knows him because how important was, like, there was always revolving doors on those Patriots teams. And you might say, Spadoni, why do you keep bringing up those Patriots teams? Because that is a sustained level of excellence that the 49ers are trying to do now with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. They are not them. I am not saying they are them. But we are getting into a zone here where all that 49ers fans have come to expect is NFC Championship appearances. Sooner or later, that's going to change, either for the better and they break through the hump, or for the worse and they don't get back there and this season's a failure. So that's why I keep bringing it up, because that's the rarefied air you're going to start getting into when it comes to just keep knocking and knocking and knocking on the door. So, yeah, it's something that Shanahan has done very well. It has been mixing and matching the offensive line, and it somehow always works.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't, because we saw it in the Super Bowl, and that Chiefs D-line just outplayed the 49ers offensive line. That, at the end of the day,
the margins are thin.
But that's it.
And that's why you need all hands on deck.
Correct.
Right? And that's where, you know, I think that's the part for a lot of Niner fans that's, you're talking about like preseason. And what was the question? What is the line?
Let's throw out the one line that sums up the preseason now that it's over.
Okay,
what sums up the preseason 49ers experience for you? It could be on the field, it could be off the field.
So my buddy Rocco, diehard Niner fan.
Love Rocco.
All caps.
Rocco's Modern Life.
Uneventful. Just get to the damn regular season.
Yeah, right? That's kind of how I feel. Right? I think that's how a lot of Niners fans
feel. I agree with you.
Just hurry. I'm starting to get like FOMO almost and fear of missing out, because I feel like we're so damn close, and I'm banging my hand on the table right now because we got fantasy drafts coming up, right? And before you know it, we just have, oh, by the way, Bonte, thank God Bonte's not here Monday morning. It's Florida State Seminoles. Oh, God.
Ireland? Cool stadium.
Georgia Tech beating you?
I mean,
yikes.
DJ looks...
Sorry, Bonte. It's going to be a long season.
I know.
It's going to be, and I was like, thank God Sam Lubbin also wasn't in, because he'd be wearing all of his Miami Hurricane gear and stuff like that. But I'm sure they're going to fall on their face within week one or two, because that's just what they do.
You know, here's
Cal or Stanford has a chance in the ACC this year.
Let me give you a couple of preseason. Like, I think these are tangible things you can walk away with.
Okay.
Jordan Mason looks much more ready to contribute for the Niners now than at any other point in his tenure. He still does a couple of things. He doesn't pass protect well. Mm-hmm. There's times he goes in the wrong direction. The play action sack that Purdy took, if Mason goes to a different direction, it's a simple little dump off play. Yeah. And again, we don't know what the script does and all that. So there's little things that he messes up from time to time. But the guy's a great runner. Patience, cutbacks, power. I think even if McCaffrey were to go down for a couple games, I think he got a guy in Mason. Mason's a guy that if he doesn't come away with 500 yards this year, all-purpose yards, I think the Niners are doing it wrong. He's a guy that has to contribute. The other big takeaway, backup linebacker, Devondre Campbell, Dominic Flanagan Fowles, those guys aren't good. I want to go with the young guys. I want to see the combination of D Winners, Jalen Graham, and Bethune, the kid from Florida State, the seventh rounder. Those guys are ready to play. Leonard Floyd, boy, he looks good.
He looks really good. He's always just been a consummate professional wherever he's gone, whether it's the Bears, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Bills. The guy is a double-digit sack machine, but you just take it for granted because he's just that guy. It's like, oh, Leonard Floyd, he's not going to be the one on your team, but that's okay. I don't need him to be on the one on this team because I got Nick Bosa, right? So I'm very much looking forward to the Leonard Floyd acquisition, because last year, Randy Gregory, he's just always been just, he's never lived up to the hype, and now I guess he's retiring. I hope that guy's doing okay mentally, because he signed with the Buccaneers, never showed up to any of the offseason stuff, never showed up. Hope everything's going okay with him. Chase Young, another one of those guys where it's just like, okay, a lot of hype, just not a lot of sizzle there. Although he did show up in the Super Bowl, I'll give him credit for that. In the biggest game of the year, he did show up. Well, I'm interested to see how he does with the Saints this year, because they are good defensively. Cam Jordan, I love me some Cam Jordan, but he underwhelmed. And you saw that early on in the season, like John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan was like, we need some depth here at the very least. And hopefully Leonard Floyd will bring that, because Nick Bosa I'm not going to say disappointing last year. I feel like disappointing is very strong, because he still had double-digit sacks last year. But coming off a DPOY performance, you wanted more from Nick Bosa.
His C season is everyone else's A-minus season.
Correct. But you're grading on the Nick Bosa curve, right?
Exactly.
So from that point, you might say you were a little disappointed. But I do think that Leonard Floyd now is going to bring out the best in Nick Bosa.
Agreed.
Maybe the best that we've seen.
And the other element that, again, I'm just looking at different formations. I think they've been very vanilla. I think Nick Sorensen's going to bring some new stuff to the table. Whatever Brandon Staley and Nick Sorensen are working on together as a combination, I think it's a much-needed wrinkle to this. Like, they've run kind of the same thing for 5, 6, 7 years. You got to kind of mix it up a little.
Correct.
I mean, obviously, it's been working.
Yes.
This Niner defense has the potential to be top five again.
Absolutely. Like, anytime you have a T.J. Watt, a Myles Garrett,
yes,
a Nick Bosa, that changes everything. And also, the one thing we really haven't been discussing this offseason is the secondary. Well, I feel like the secondary's always been their Achilles heel, and maybe, just maybe, that they've found something. I mean, they're talking about D'Amador Lenore getting broken off and stuff like that. That's kind of been the conversation there. But I don't have as many concerns with Charvarius Ward in that secondary as I have in the past. I think they shut up a lot of people last year, especially in that Super Bowl where, again, the defense, they did its job for the most part. The only touchdown they allowed in regulation was off a turnover in the special teams.
The guy that I'm looking for to take the biggest leap forward in this first full season, or his second full season, Jair Brown. I think Jair Brown is going to be an absolute player for this team. He had a forced fumble in this game where he just punched the ball as he was tackling.
Dylan Lauby.
He's just a stud.
Yeah.
He makes plays. He shows up around the ball. He's a sure tackler. He has a knack for getting the ball. Like, we all know those guys. You know, we always talk about this, like, that guy's a knack for rebounding. You know what I mean? That guy's a knack for the big base hit.
Mm-hmm.
Certain defensive players have a knack for being around the ball and making things happen. He's one of those guys.
Absolutely. And another one of those guys that did in the past, Talano Hufanga, who's expected to practice this week, today, hopefully. Ricky Pearsall expected to practice today. And Matt Maiocco, who covers the team for the NBC Sports Bay Area, does a hell of a job in covering the team for years. Very tapped in. He's saying right now, Joe Shasky, this could be a very busy day around the NFL. Teams with deep position groups are looking to make deals. Wink, wink, 49ers is basically what he's saying. So maybe, just maybe, we have some trades today.
Look, I'm exhausted with the IU conversation as much as anyone else is. I'm exhausted with the Trent Williams thing, all right? But it's hard for me to not speculate. Do the Niners have something up their sleeve here? I feel like they've been slow playing this for a long time, and with all the stuff coming out right now regarding Devontae Adams and the Raiders and the fact that they just played them.
Speaking of that, real quick, let me play this. DeSean Jackson, former all-pro wide receiver, Philadelphia Eagle, also a former Raider, one of the worst fumbles I've ever seen in my life as a Raider. DeSean Jackson, I believe this is on Fox Sports, talking about Devontae Adams.
This one's tough because, you know, me and Devontae, we've talked and... You know, man, I hate to do it because I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, D-Jack said this and said that. But at the end of the day, he is unhappy. I mean, you go from Aaron Rodgers, then you come to the Las Vegas Raiders. And now not only Jimmy G, you had your boy Carr.
Carr.
It didn't really work out that you thought, you know, from the Fresno State days,
right.
You think they would come back and work everything out. And it's just like it just quite didn't work out. So now I just don't think he's really that happy there.
Well, there's two ways you can look at that. He's not happy. I mean, the guy just had a baby. He has his family there. He did say, you know, part of the reason he came over was Derek Carr, but part of the reason that he went over to Las Vegas from Green Bay was also just to be closer to his family, who all still live in Palo Alto.
Yeah.
So that was part of it, too. So coming over there, now what's as close as you can get to Palo Alto? Santa Clara.
I mean, they're right
they're right. They're right next to each other.
Well,
so, Devontae, you're hearing from John. He's not happy, but listen, if the Raiders aren't going to be very good. We'll know very early on because they have a very difficult stretch early on. They open up against the Chargers. They could beat the Chargers. I don't think the Chargers are going to be as amazing as everyone thinks they are in year one. Now, Jim Harbaugh does a lot of stuff. Maybe he does. Maybe they run the ball well. Justin Herbert, he's got the plantar fasciitis. We'll see. But if they're not good, they will have a lot of suitors come week 7, 6, 8, wherever the trade deadline is this year. I know they've extended it. Could the 49ers be a part of that, Joe Shasky? Do you want them to be a part of that?
So this is what,
or
I think,
do you do it now and try to overwhelm them? Because they have a huge dead cap with his, like, a trade. Mm-hmm. Like, if they trade off him right now, that's a huge dead cap. But if you give them the right package right now, I'm not so sure they wouldn't say no.
Well, I don't know what the particulars are. I don't know what's going on. I'm just speculating. I'm just talking. It just feels like to me the Niners have been slow playing this whole thing out. And if they were going to get a deal done, it feels like it would have already happened. So, like, I think that the Niners are exhausted, and I wouldn't put it past them to do something like this. Oh, okay. Washington or Pittsburgh or whatever. That's the trade package that you're willing to give up for Brandon Ayuk. We'll do that. We'll keep those draft picks. And then, oh, like, for example, running back, they're loaded. Like, I think they're going to keep Guerrero now.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to say goodbye to Elijah Mitchell. I think Elijah Mitchell gets traded today. I think he's a guy that can get you back something. Maybe it's a third or a fourth or a fifth round pick. Maybe you're packaging something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And maybe you move somebody else. Linebacker, something.
Sure.
You take some of that ammunition, and then you turn around, and you go to the Raiders, and you say, here, we'll take Davante Adams from you, and here's the draft compensation that we'll take for that. The Niners are really good at one thing, drafting in the middle rounds.
Yeah.
What they're not good at are these first and second rounders. So, like, I have no problem with surrendering a top pick for someone as good as Davante. Getting a Davante Adams is a win-now Super Bowl mindset move.
Absolutely. If you get Davante Adams on this team, you can make the argument. You still have, and I know Justin Jefferson's his own tier, but you have a top five wide receiver, you have the number one tight end, you have the number one running back, and you have, as last year he was, he played like it, a potential top five quarterback. Like, that's what you're talking about here. We're talking about the tier list. Brock Purdy's in that tier. You even want to say top 10, that's sure. I'm talking about Brock Purdy building off last season, could be a top five quarterback this year. That is a scary offense. And the thing that's so great about Davante, his skill translates everywhere. It's not predicated on speed.
He's perfect.
It's not predicated on power. It's the route running. It's knowing where to be. It's the hands. I mean, that guy.
Red zone targets.
Red zone targets. The slant. Everything.
He understands the offense because he did the LaFleur offense, which is very similar to the Kyle offense.
And he did the McDaniels offense.
He's a pure route runner, yes, who gets unbelievable separation. Purdy and Davante would be phenomenal.
It'd be
together.
Incredible. It'd be absolutely
phenomenal.
It'd be absolutely incredible. Like,
and he's
Draymond
a win now, no nonsense player.
And that's why I like him. Like, you saw how bad losing was to him last year.
Yeah.
Doc. Now, I think we are being maybe a little jaded on the whole Davante thing because we're just associating last year with right now. He just had a kid. I don't know. Like, maybe he is happy. Maybe things change when you have a new baby. And it's like, you know what? I want to build a life. I want to stay here. Mm-hmm. So that changes. Like, you have a kid, Joe. Like, could you imagine yourself just having a kid and not moving now? Like, after you've already had another one? I know it's different. We're not NFL players. We're not NBA players. Like,
for sure.
That's very difficult. Like, we were talking about Lauri Markkanen with the Jazz, right? I think staying with his family in Utah was very important to him. And not coming, there's nothing against the Warriors. I think just being in a location that you feel comfortable in,
yeah,
is important. And maybe he feels comfortable staying in Vegas. We'll see. DeSean Jackson says he's not happy. Maybe he knows him better than I do. So we'll take that for what it's worth. But DeSean Jackson saying Davante Adams is not happy in Las Vegas. Could the 49ers get in on that? I want to hear from the fans. 888-957-9570. I also want to get into this, because this is kind of how I'm feeling about 49ers fans. But I want to hear a player talking about it on Good Morning Football. And I know I'm going to get a lot of eye rolls. I know Joe Shasky's going to say, oh, this guy. But Manti Te'o, say what you want about him.
Okay.
He was a Heisman finalist, played in the NFL for a while. He's a linebacker. He knows the game of football. Does not know the game of, you know, Tinder very well, but that we'll leave that there. Here's Manti Te'o talking about the 49ers and how they've looked during the preseason and this offseason.
I think for the past 5 to 10 years, we've got so accustomed to the San Francisco 49ers walking around not only the NFC West, but the NFL in general, as these big bullies. You watch Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel coming out of the locker room with that bump box, and you watch them get into that scuffle in the pregame, and you watch their dominant defense and their run game. We got so accustomed to that. I flipped on the TV and watched their past two preseason games when their starters played, and I just see an emotionally drained team.
You think they're emotionally drained, Joe Shasky?
Watched their first two preseason games and their third one, and I watched a team that didn't have a lot of starters out there.
Yeah.
That's what I watched. And look, Manti Te'o is entitled to his opinion. I disagree with it.
Okay.
I think that when I watch this team, they play a physical brand of football that doesn't translate to preseason football. It just doesn't. And they're top heavy. Of all the teams that's the most top heavy of the contenders, it's the Niners are at the top. Like, they are top heavy. I think they've gotten deeper the last year in the draft, but they got a lot of young players. If your takeaway is they look emotionally drained, I would say, like, I think you're reaching on that one. That's a Stretch Armstrong take.
That's a Stretch Armstrong. I never had a Stretch Armstrong. That was before my time. But I don't necessarily disagree, but I do have to wait and see till the regular season. Like, if they take an L week one, and then I start seeing bad body language, sure. I think it's more fair to say that for 49ers fans that are probably emotionally drained. Like, I'm still talking to fans that are, you know what, like, I'm still not over the Super Bowl loss. I was like, homie, that was 6 months ago. Yeah, I'm still not over it. Like, I get that. I understand the pain of those types of losses. They just linger and linger, and you don't want to get hurt again. You don't want to put yourself out there and get hurt again, like a relationship. You've been spurned and scarred for so many years. You don't want to go through that again. And for the players, though, it's got to be a little different this time around for players like Kittle. I know he's super fired up. He's a rah-rah guy. Maybe he's not the greatest example. But Deebo Samuel, right? Like, how's the head coach, Kyle Shanahan? It's one thing to lose one Super Bowl. It's another to lose two. And not feel like if you have a loss early on in the season, like, how does that not fester? It's like, can we do this again? That doubt starts to creep into your mind. Now, I do think it's a little outrageous to say in preseason they look emotionally drained. I do. But if they take some L's early on this season, could we possibly see some bad body language from some of these people?
Okay.
I'm not trying to go
I'm
not Monk here.
Think about the two players that are their most, if I were to say the most emotionally charged players on the team on either side of the ball, who are they?
Fred Warner and George Kittle.
Okay, I was going to say Deebo and George Kittle, and then on the other side would be Drake Greenlaw and Fred Warner. I mean, we've seen...
Deebo doesn't talk enough from... Like, he does his...
No, but in terms of play style.
Okay, play style.
Deebo's play style is never going to translate to the preseason. It's just not.
No.
Deebo's a regular season playoff type of a player. Like, he just is. And when I look at someone who plays the physicality and the physical way that he does and the way Kittle does, like, those guys, preseason's never going to be able to replicate what they're going to bring during a regular season. Fred Warner doesn't even play in the preseason, nor should he. And he's one of the most, I think he's one of the greatest leaders in the game, right? Hands down. And the way that guy plays with his hair on fire, you're not going to do that in a game against the Raiders. It doesn't mean anything.
I agree, but also we've been hearing from guys that have been pretty tapped in there. You know, our guy Jake Hutchinson, who works for us at 95.7 The Game, he's tapped in. He's kind of our now 49ers 95.7 The Game insider. You know, he was saying there's the juice kind of hasn't been there in the training camp, though, Joe Shasky. Doesn't that kind of concern you a little bit? There's been no juice.
I'll make that determination after a month if they look lackluster.
Okay.
I thought that these drives, again, a couple of drives, it was bang, bang, here's Kittle, here's Deebo, boom, boom, Jordan Mason. I was like, same old Niners. Like, to me, that was my takeaway. Like, we're fine. We're good. Got to get Trent back, but, like, we're good. Like, we're ready to roll. And I think the defense is going to be great. I don't think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be great this year. I am ready to go for week one. Now, I'm not 100% ready to go until we get Trent back. Big Trent's got to get signed. But I'm ready to go for week one.
Speaking of that, Jeremy Fowler with the latest on ESPN with Trent Williams.
Well, I was told from somebody involved in the situation that he is not going to be available until he gets his contract adjusted. He's got 3 years left on his deal. That could bleed into the regular season with us just being a few weeks away. This is a player who's made about $150 million in his career. He's been taking up golf, kind of staying away from the team, doing his own thing, still training, of course, getting ready for the season potentially. But he's not overly stressed to have to be out there right now, and he's the fourth highest paid left tackle despite being the best the last few years. So the 49ers know they have to do something here. Could sweeten the guarantees on his contract. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with Brandon Ayuk at the same time. They're trying to get this guy done, so they're hoping he'll be in the lineup here soon.
Yeah,
could bleed into the regular season?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You don't?
No, they're going to get
it done. He used the word bleed. That's scary.
Yeah, that's the threat. I'm not.
You don't. Well, no. You don't think Trent Williams, Big Trent Williams,
I think he would,
who punched Richard Sherman in the face after a game with his helmet on? I don't think his helmet. Trent had his helmet on. He cold cocked Sherman after a game once when he played for Washington. He's about that life. He will hold out.
So we know what the Niners were doing yesterday. They were probably going over all the film. Well, they probably did this Friday night coming home. Going through all the film of the preseason game just to, like, look at it. And I bet they were going, wow, we need Trent Williams. Like, I think they know. I think John Lynch, of all people, is going to make this happen. I trust them. They've earned the benefit of the doubt.
If he's not there week one, it's going to be a disaster, and they're losing to the New York Jets. If Trent Williams is not suited up week one for the San Francisco 49ers, they are losing to the New York Jets. I feel very confident.
I think they're going to get him in by week's end. I trust this organization will get it done. They've earned that benefit of the doubt.
Did that sound like it's close?
Well, Jeremy Fowler throws a lot out there.
Oh, come on, Jeremy.
I heard from...
He's tapped
the
in.
The original quote was, I heard from someone... That he wants his money renegotiated. Well, tell me something I don't know.
Well, just hey.
Of course he wants new money.
No, but that's kind of new. It could bleed into. I don't think we've heard that it could bleed into the regular season from anyone yet, have we?
No.
No. Like, we didn't hear that with Nick Bosa. We just knew that he was just going to probably get signed late, and then he did. Like,
I think
the Trent Williams one's a little, he's a different cat is what I'm going to say. Like, he is about like his money and his stuff, which is fine. Yeah. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I don't think he's going to lose any sleep if the 49ers lose week one and he's not there.
Wouldn't you agree? Like, this conversation is why Niner fans are just like, just get it done and just get me to week one. Like what we're doing right now. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting, but I think this is new and we got to talk about
right.
it.
No, you're right. No, I'm not mad at you because this is relevant, and it's to me it's order of business number one. Before Ayuk and all that, it's like Trent is order of business number one. It's just hard to talk about the Niners without addressing these things, and that's where it gets. I feel like we're in reruns.
So
as a fan base,
so 888-957-9570. After you heard that 49ers fans, Jeremy Fowler saying that Trent Williams situation could bleed into the season, like, are you doing a whole 180 if you were on the team pay Ayuk first? Are you saying hell no? I'm paying Trent Williams whatever he wants. Ayuk, I'm sorry, like I got to prioritize this guy because let's not get it twisted. Let's start naming off the people that the 49ers have prioritized getting signed first before Brandon Ayuk. Who do we got? Christian McCaffrey. We got Juwan Jennings. Who am I missing here, Joe Shasky? They've prioritized
CMC,
over
CMC. Juwan Jennings. They've basically carved out money for Brock Purdy.
Okay? Odom.
I think that they're doing an evaluation right now, and they're like, Debo and Kittle or Ayuk?
Really?
I think that's what they're saying to themselves. I think they've already made the decision. I think Ayuk's on his way out the door. That's just my feel. I mean, I'd like him to stay, but I think that they've kind of balanced their books and they're sitting here and I think they're thinking like, all right, Ayuk or Diamond or Lenore and Aaron Banks, Ayuk or, you know, this guy and that guy. Like, I think that they're charting out their path right now as we talk about it. And I think that they kind of already made their decision and I think they're exhausted with Ayuk and I think it's pretty evident.
Well, he made the trip. What did you make of that? He made the trip to Vegas. Weird. That was very weird.
He's grumpy looking. I don't want to like read into his body language. I get he's frustrated, and I don't even know.
And then Trent's just not there. I want to get to this call in a second. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Xfinity Mobile text line. 49ers faithful, how are we feeling that Trent Williams' situation could bleed into the season, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN? Let's go to Kevin, who's out in Marin.
Hey, Kevin.
What's going on, man? You're on 95.7 The Game with Spadoni and Shasky.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. The thing about, there's so much conversation about Ayuk and Trent Williams, the contracts. And the thing that just popped into my head is the similarities that I see between the Giants ownership group and the Niners ownership group. That is, well, the communication is all about winning championships. It's not. It's about bringing the biggest ROI to the shareholders of the team. And the Niners have had an exact number in mind that they're willing to do for not only Ayuk and Williams, but every player on their roster. And they're not willing to go off that number whatsoever. And it kind of shows what sports is these days. It's not the romanticism of when we were growing up, and it's all about the team and the players and striving for the championship. This is a hardcore multi-billion-dollar business that there are major shareholders who probably don't care about winning championships. They care about, how much is my dividend check going to be at the end of this fiscal year?
Well, that's with everything. I want you to stay on hold, Kevin, real quick, because are you really saying that the 49ers championship and ownership expectations are that of the San Francisco Giants? I get what you're saying, the bottom line, but that's the same for any business, any company. Of course they want to make money. But the way that the 49ers ownership, and Jed York specifically, from top to bottom, the way they've handled things compared to the Giants? Really? I mean, we're crushing the Giants on a daily basis. The 49ers are competing for Super Bowls twice in the last 4 years.
And there's also the balance of the salary cap. I just think it's a little
more... It's such a different sport too, Kev, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also more transparent now in the conversations and the way people go about getting their money. Like, for example, the Niners didn't retain Ronnie Lott and allowed the Raiders to sign him in 1991.
Thanks, Kev.
Because they had to balance their books, which is exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah.
This has always been a part. The Niners, the Giants, excuse me, prioritized Robbie Thompson and couldn't afford Will Clark. Like, this has happened years and years, and this has happened forever. It's just way more in our face now.
Yes.
For everyone, both the reporters, the 24 news cycle, 24/7 news cycle, the athletes having their own social media, you know, the aggregators, the content creators, the radio stations, the television stations. It's just way more in our face now.
I just think we have to just take a step back. Like, I know people are upset. I know the IU
thing.
The Niners
are awesome.
They're the best team in the NFC right now. Just go to Vegas. That's what they have them projected as. Like, the Giants just lost a series to the Mariners, who just fired their coach and haven't won a series in forever. Like,
what did you say to us in the thread last night?
I said the Giants?
Yeah, Giants.
They have to earn their way for us to talk about them. They have not earned that yet.
The Niners have.
The Niners have earned that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're talking about the Niners all week long, all 2 weeks long, leading up to week one, Jets, Niners, 2 weeks from today, Levi's Stadium. You going to be there, Joe Shasky? Monday Night Football, you doing that?
I'm so fired up.
Dude, you're LJ?
I'm gonna have to talk to the boss, because I don't know if the boss hooked it up with some help, because he's got bed at 8 o'clock and Michelle won't go unless we can stay down that way. So I don't know if the boss, and I'm putting him on blast right now. I don't know. We have to talk off air.
Okay, there you go.
You're putting me on blast.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. I definitely don't mean to put
anyone on
blast.
I'm trying to wiggle out of it like I'm Brock Purdy with a free release.
I'm not mad at that. Do a little pirouette there. Yeah. A little Tony Romo-esque.
But now I gotta slide.
Now you gotta slide.
I gotta get down.
Your dad's a baseball player. You know how to slide, so you're
absolutely
good.
My favorite was when, I don't know if you're listening to this, but they brought in Joe Girardi to teach Daniel Jones how to slide.
Oh, God, that's not going to help anything.
This was a while back.
Can they bring in Tom Brady to teach him how to throw? That'll help, too. It's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Who's a catcher? What are we doing here? Like, come on. Like, Joe Girardi? Guys, this guy's knees are shot. You bringing him in? Oh, Daniel Jones. Got that team.
He can teach
you
how to do is how to mismanage a team.
Absolutely. Although they didn't win a World Series. The Yankees' last World Series, he was the manager. God, that was 15 years ago. Jesus. All right. The injury report. 49ers first-round pick Ricky Pearsall will return to practice today, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Pearsall has been dealing with a partial dislocation of his shoulder. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Just heard from Jeremy Fowler there, ESPN. Trent Williams' holdout could bleed into the regular season. How concerning is that for you, 49ers fans? I want to get into that. Joe in Seattle, we'll get to you on the other side as well. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, and it's your calls on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.